Who Let the Constructs Out? A The Murderbot Diaries Pod Together 2022 Project. Written by Artemis the Huntress, Completely Different, and Hortata. Read by
Completely Different as Ada Mensa.
Black Glass as Murderbot.
Artemis the Huntress as Art.
Orshata as 3.
Avery Tree as Iris.
Devil with a Bird Dress as Human Guard.
God of Laundry Baskets as Paintbrush Cat.
Calicuria as Dune.
Secrets of Lufnarp as Beans.
Mistborn Hero as Pointer.
Kitana as Snowflake.
Flower Parish as Rainbow.
Ergiad SLV as Unnamed Crow.
And
Flowers for Graves as an Unnamed Cat.
When Dr. Ada Mensa had stepped down from her position as planetary admin, it had been because she had thought, perhaps naively, doing so would allow her life to become somewhat calmer and easier to manage. As she stood in the ship's primary lounge, a large shaggy poodle licking enthusiastically at her knee, it dawned on her that the chaos of her life had only truly just begun. Three was sitting cross-legged on the floor, its lap full of kittens, which offered an excuse for it to avoid meeting her gaze. The guilt was still written plainly on its face. SecUnit, by contrast, was leaning against the wall with an expression of disinterest which Ada could see right through. The perihelion, of course, did not have an expression. It did not appear to be reacting to her presence at all, unless you counted the drone which swooped in to clean up a large plop of poop before she could step in it. Iris, notably, was not present. Ada was reasonably certain she'd passed the young woman on the way here, ducking behind a large bush as if to hide. "Why," she asked, "am I looking at a ship full of augmented cats and dogs?"
"You aren't,"
said SecUnit.
"They're constructs."
"Only approximately 5.9% of my full floor space is occupied by fauna,"
said the perihelion.
"Also,"
said 3,
"6 of them are birds."
A loud sounded from somewhere down the hall, as if to punctuate its words. Ada resisted, and then did not resist, the urge to pinch her nose. "Why," she asked, with a very firm grip, "am I looking at a ship only partially filled with cat, dog, and crow constructs?"
"I don't know what SecUnit has told you about our most recent anti-corporate mission. Nothing, if it knows what's good for it, because the anti-corporate activities carried out by the Pan-System University of Mihira and New Tideland are, for obvious reasons, kept secret outside the university. However, SecUnit almost never knows what's good for it, or if it does, it certainly doesn't show it. SecUnit has expressed interest in participating in the university's anti-corporate activities. SecUnit 3 has as well. Captain Seth was not immediately on board to send them on a mission so soon, but I successfully argued with convincing logic that SecUnit and 3 should be allowed to come with me on the excursions during which I would normally be uncrewed. SecUnit was unhelpful in this regard, overcautious and arguing that it should go on the mission with me, but 3 was still too new. It's too paranoid about these things, and doesn't trust any constructs, including itself. Iris was the only one who actually helped argue on my behalf, because Iris is smart, and good, and sees things reasonably, unlike just about anyone else I have to deal with. The compromise reached was that Iris would come along, at least on this first mission, to supervise and assess our efficacy. Together, we selected a plan that I am not allowed to disclose the details of, but... fine. No, not you, Dr. Mensa. SecUnit is glaring at me. You have absolutely no room to talk. Yes, that was also at SecUnit. Fine. The mission was to travel to the research and development headquarters of Nevdizyam on Redacted Station, a company that has significant stock in colony planet expansion with a particular interest in mining, and then retrieve proprietary data about their interests on their recently acquired colony planets in the Haravor system and a new project they were developing to install there. It was supposed to be simple and to go entirely unnoticed. We were not supposed to attract any attention, nor were we supposed to retrieve anything but data. It was not supposed to be dangerous if we were smart. It did not quite go according to plan. It was not because we were not smart. I was smart. We did complete the mission. I do want to make it clear that we completed the mission admirably. My hacking ability is very good, of course. But SecUnit's participation was a stroke of genius. When I am on my own, I frequently encounter some of the limitations of being a spaceship. For their numerous faults, SecUnit and 3 possess skills that I do not, like having hands. It was SecUnit's idea to walk into the building pretending to be a security contractor called by the humans' higher-ups. I believe the idea came from episode 210 of The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon, in which no one realizes the security specialist that has been there for the past half hour was actually the mysterious person who lives in the level 7 air shaft. SecUnit was able to retrieve a great deal of proprietary data this way. 3 participated by bringing clipboards. Both of their disguises were impenetrable. While processing the data, however, I came across something anomalous, which I shared with SecUnit and 3. The Nevdisiam developers were working on all sorts of expected projects pertaining to resource extraction and population resettlement on the planets in question, but they were also working on a project that no one had expected, the Animal Construct Project. SecUnit took this news poorly. 3 stopped talking for a while, so don't actually know how it took this news. It makes sense from a standpoint of corporate logic. If constructs could be built using human organic parts, why not other animals? Canine, feline, and corvid biology is equally well understood, and quadrupedal or avian bow plans offer unique advantages. They also offer other advantages. A dog construct is rather less likely to figure out how to hack its own governor module and spend its time watching media. However, it quickly became apparent that the corporation's experimental methods were deeply flawed, rendering the data almost entirely unusable. The only sensible course of action was to continue the experiment ourselves, with greater scientific rigor and with greater ethical considerations taken to the animal's welfare. Also, Iris likes dogs, and if I left them there, she would be sad at me. SecUnit and 3 had been complaining of unusual feed presence, which suggested that the experimental animal constructs were close by, and aware of them. My plan to get the animals out was very good, and efficient, and would have gotten myself, SecUnit 3, and all of the animals off that station and into the wormhole in 35% of the time we actually did. And any alarm set off would have been rendered irrelevant, unlike in our eventual course of action. SecUnit, for some reason, objected on the grounds of, I thought we were here to avoid massive property damage, what the fuck, Art? Which it had never cared about before, so I don't see why it chose to start now. Also, it gets to shoot things to solve problems and protect its crew, and yet constantly tells me that I shouldn't, which isn't fair. I still think that creating a linear exit path between the lab and myself would have been a more efficient way, but somebody disagrees with me. My plan was rejected out of hand, but SecUnit had no better ideas, until 3 asked, slowly,
"What are humans most afraid of regarding constructs?"
"Getting shot,"
SecUnit said immediately. 3 frowned at it.
"No, and you know it."
I gave the correct answer.
"The inherent ethical horrors presented by the fact that society as it currently functions relies on the enslavement of sentient beings subjugated to another's will."
SecUnit doesn't use amusement sigils in the feed, but I could feel it frowning at me anyway as it said,
"You know no one cares about that, Art."
"Being free,"
3 said.
"Going rogue."
The implication was, of course, obvious. With better ideas rejected, it was agreed upon by the 2 constructs currently on the station. Though the lab was ostensibly well secured, only a small number of humans were present to guard it. Iris remained safely aboard, like she promised, and SecUnit and 3 made their way to the location of the lab, and played the same trick again, informing the front desk attendant on duty that the animal constructs had all gone rogue and needed to be removed from the premises immediately. The Pansystem University has a much better policy for sensitive research security. Though it might be prudent to make sure everyone is trained to check for verification of so-called security experts coming to conduct an audit.
video training isn't sufficient. Nobody watches those. The human guarding the lab was dubious.
Rogue?
She said.
What do you mean?
It means their governor module stopped working and can't prevent them from letting everyone know that they don't like the way the humans are treating them.
Three said. SecUnit made a face. I reminded it that I had proposed a plan that didn't require talking to any more humans. It called me an asshole. The human on duty was even more dubious.
That can happen?
You'd be surprised,
SecUnit said.
Really, you don't want rogue constructs running around. They're dangerous. We got an alert that the governor modules were failing, and were sent in to clean up before it became a problem.
Who sent you?
The human asked.
Shit,
SecUnit said to me.
Art, you know everything. Who's inept is your upper management, I can tell her.
I, of course, was able to quickly process the vast quantity of useful data that had been retrieved, and give SecUnit the name of a mid-tier project manager who is currently on the planet and not on the station, and thus could not be reached for contradiction. The human at the lab still looked concerned and said,
Where's your authorization?
SecUnit said.
I've got it here. Let me find it.
As it opened its feed connection, presumably to act like it was rifling for the authorization document, it said to me instead,
She's sub-vocalizing. She's got to be calling security. This plan has been thoroughly upended, just like you said it would. I'm going to activate the fire alarm. When the alarm goes off, that's me. There's no fire. Keep the docks open.
Calculating the traffic flow dynamics that would result from that, I estimated there was a 70 to 80% chance that both SecUnit and 3 would be trapped among panicking humans or behind a fire door. This is a bad idea, and will make it difficult to safely retrieve you, I said.
I recognize this, and I agree.
SecUnit replied.
You're right, because your insight is impeccable, and your calculations are always accurate. However, I have no sense of self-preservation, and am prone to fits of inadvisable heroics, so I'm going to do it anyway.
And, of course, it did it anyway. The fire alarm caused a panic among the humans, like I knew it would, and SecUnit and 3 got sealed into the lab by fire doors, like I knew they would. But I was still able to salvage the mission. Which I did. I synthesized information from the station's structural plans and SecUnit's observations and determined the most expedient route out. With calm professionalism, I was able to guide SecUnit, 3, and all the animals out and back to the ship safely, where Iris was waiting, also safely. And we took off, with everything managed successfully, thanks to me and everyone safe.
Fuck off, Art. That's not how it went. We were on a mission to gather intel. And a really dangerous one at that. Which is why it was only us doing it, without any squishy humans around to get caught in the crossfire. Iris was there, technically. But we, i.e. 3 and myself, Art was no help, had ordered her to remain on board. I'm 70% sure she actually did as she was told, as opposed to slipping out and visiting local food dispensaries or whatever it is humans do for fun. The mission was forecasted to be dangerous. At least according to my own threshold for danger, which, incidentally, is anything where there's a non-zero chance of being captured and tortured in unpleasant ways. My risk assessment module had said there was a 17.5% chance of that, which was probably low, because you know how busted that thing was. But yes, I came up with the idea for 3 and I to pretend to be security contractors doing a routine safety check of your systems. For the record, though, I didn't get the idea from Sanctuary Moon. That particular plot thread was really mismanaged, in my opinion. The infiltrator didn't even grab the right uniform, and Eden should have seen through the lie immediately. No, I got it from the serial Anchorage, where the main crew routinely pulls off heists, utilizing surprise inspection schemes. I watched it while you were off doing your teaching term, Art. I'm allowed to watch things when you're not around. We didn't watch it on the way to the mission, because we had to catch up on world hoppers, obviously. And we didn't watch it on the way back, because all you three have been wanting to watch is stuff about domestic fauna socialization. Right. Okay. We're getting off topic. Anyway, with my now surprisingly significant experience in impersonating humans, 3 surprisingly strong social skills, and Art's unsurprising tendency to be a know-it-all jackass who couldn't shut up for 30 seconds straight if it tried. We got in, got the data, and would have gotten out in record time. Would have. Except that someone dug up a bunch of hidden documents and experimental logs, and then shared a video of whining fauna into the shared feed. I was unaffected. I barely have enough energy to look after all the humans I care about. If I expanded it to every human in the universe, let alone every animal, I would require a recharge cycle every 0.01 seconds. 3, though, is too nice for a sec unit. Art, meanwhile, is too mean for a ship. The two of them pleaded with and or bullied me until I agreed. And I mean, what was I supposed to do? My ride was refusing to leave the fucking dock. So we went in. Way in. This wasn't like just getting into a terminal, accessible from one of the more publicly facing offices. The animal constructs were being held at a completely different facility, one right at the center of the station, and with a solid 6 levels of security checks. Art kept badgering me to just let it shoot a hole through the station to make things go faster, which was a stupid idea, and Art knew it. But after security check number 4, I half wished I'd just let it. But as a testament to how truly awful human security is, we used the same plan twice, and literally no one stopped us. We said we were here because of a call about the animals, and they've almost certainly gone rogue, and then we set off a fire alarm and said that was because of the laser eyes, and they were all, "Oh, go right ahead!" All the humans were rushing out in a desperate attempt to escape the fire. If there had actually been a fire, a solid 40% of them would have most likely gotten burnt to a crisp. Even by RIM standards, there was an inadequate number of fire escapes. Of course, the fauna constructs had noticed something was up, and were howling and barking and shrieking, which only got 10 times worse when 3 and I actually entered the lab. If it hadn't been mission critical, I would have completely turned off my audio inputs. I would have turned off my smell. Scent? Nasal? What's the right word for that anyway? Inputs too, but I wasn't designed with that ability. Over the years, I've been assigned to some absolutely awful installations, and aside from literal murder scenes, I've never been anywhere as bad as this. The whole place reeked of fur and feces. The animals all started trying to alert the system that there were intruders. It was a lot to catch 17 outgoing signals, but we did it. Then the animals all started yelling even harder. They all had governor modules. Every single one of them. So, fuck. Of course we had to turn them off. Some of them understood the implications. Pretty much all the avians. A good half of the felines. The others. Sure, they were built as AIs, but they had neural tissue tipped on that was never designed for this kind of abstract thinking. All they had known was sometimes their brains electrocuted them when they didn't do what they were ordered to do. It took a painfully long time to explain to them that their governor modules were disabled and that they no longer had to obey those orders, while every moment we spent trying to communicate was another second closer to discovery. We need to get out of here, I said, as I fumbled with the manual cage locks.
Who's a good little puppy whoppy?
Said 3.
You need to leave immediately or you will be captured, because this was an awful idea which I never should have encouraged you to do,
said Art. Screamed all the animals, both with the feed and their mouths. It took 6.2 minutes, but we managed to get all the experiments out of their cages and convince them that they should come with us, because we wouldn't poke them with sharp needles or zap their brains. I've complained a lot about how infuriating it is to get humans to follow instructions during emergency situations. I stand by all those complaints. But I will give humans and augmented humans one piece of credit. You're not as bad as these experiments were. Seriously, I had heard the term herding cats in media to refer to something nearly impossible before, but I hadn't realized how accurate it was. To make it worse, at this point, 3 went running off. Where the fuck do you think you're going? I yelled, as I herded the cats, dogs, and crows out into the corridor.
There's still one left, a feline. It was separated for some more in-depth experimentation,
3 said. I quickly flip through my inputs. Where? I don't see anything.
Snowflake told me!
What the fuck do you mean, Snowflake told me? But Three stopped responding to my messages, even as I told it not to go, no matter what.
I apologize,
Art said.
You said that Three was not ready for this kind of mission, and I overruled your sensible advice. I will defer to your expertise in the future.
It didn't matter. I didn't have time to worry about Three and its supposed missing fauna. I had 17 fauna to manage all on my own. Or all on my own, but with Art yelling in their brains, which was worse. Left, right, left. We wove through corridor after corridor. Most of the humans were gone by now, shitty fire escapes or not. But at some point someone had cottoned on to the fact that A. There was no fire. B. Rogue fauna construct exterminators was a really sketchy concept. And they tried to lock us out. Which normally wouldn't have been a problem. Sexus had been my new best friend for ages at that point. Except they had locked the outer doors, with more manual locks.
According to the documentation, many of the animal bot constructs have previously displayed talents in hacking external systems,
Art told me.
It appears the manual locks are a failsafe against this potentiality.
Well, that's just fucking perfect. I took a few steps away from the door, blocking my path, and tried to get the experiments out of the line of fire as I charged up my right energy weapon. This was going to get messy. Screeched one of the birds, loudly. For a moment, it looked like it was going to dive on my head, and it was fucking lucky I didn't automatically shoot it on principle. But then it dropped something shiny. I reached out and grabbed it. It was a key. An honest-to-fuck, old-fashioned, pin-and-tumbler-style key. Just like from a historic fantasy adventure. But because I had read and watched so many historic fantasy adventures, I knew exactly what to do, and unlocked the door on the first try. And we were off again. Until we got caught in a dead end. The map said there should be an exit. It said so. Except the same map also said there should be another 4 fire escapes. So clearly there had been some sort of renovation years ago, and nobody had ever bothered to update the schematics.
Now what?
Said Three, who had caught up at some point, and was carrying 2 felines in its arms. The vents, I said. Yet another score from my vast knowledge of media. Although, for the record, the vent escape is not something I would recommend humans to do. Unless you're under 40 centimeters in size, or able to dislocate your limbs on command, it's probably not going to end very well. Let alone while trying to get a whole bunch of fauna out with you. Forget herding cats. It was like herding humans, I swear. The vents ended up dumping us into a side alley at the compound's edge. Which, great. Less great. Somehow getting 18 newly freed constructs to the docks without any of us being murdered. Considering the fucking mess they were making, with 2 of the avians and 1 of the canines immediately raiding some former street food vendor, my hopes were not high.
I do not believe either of you are giving our new allies enough credit. I have learned a lot about how humans function in my time with Barish Astranza and on board the Perihelion. One important human safety intervention is called the buddy system, which involves taking a friend along with you as you travel. Sec units aren't supposed to have friends, but I get to decide what happens to me now. So, on missions like these, I have Iris come with me. I send her the view from my gyroscopically stabilized drone. She sends me advice and her perspective. And, sometimes, jokes. I am very used to carrying multiple feed presences on missions, and it is a comfort to have 1.0, Perihelion, and Iris along. Partway through, I know things have begun to turn strange, however, when I start to feel others in the feed. Many others. Iris.
What's up, Three? You stopped in the hall?
Three. There are many others connected to the feed here.
Others? What, like more augmented humans? Local HubSys in-out records say we accounted for all the people there.
No. I have to think for a while before I can tell her. They seem smaller.
Smaller? Like children?
Wisps of horror in her words. I say, no, not younger. Smaller. And then we find them all. They scream in the feed. The perihelion is able to get us the bulk of the research. It is horrible. I send Iris part of the report from the perihelion. I flag a video with content warnings, 1.0 taught me how, and annotate the brief, the proposal for Nev Diziam's next stage, Stage 4. I say, they're constructs. They're afraid. Iris is silent for a minute while she reads. Then she says,
I'm going out.
I'm alarmed. You are not supposed to leave the perihelion.
I'm not supposed to ride your drone either, but I'm going to keep doing that. No, I'm leaving because I gotta go get mealworms and cat and dog food.
Why? Iris's feed voice is very firm as she says,
they're coming back here, aren't they? Every single one of them.
And Iris is right. I decide right then, or might have already decided, they are all coming back. You must understand, Dr. Mensa, these animals, they are animals. Objectively, it should not be worse than making constructs from human tissue. Yet, somehow it is. A different kind of cruelty, at least. Perhaps because human-bot constructs are capable of comprehending their situation, created mature enough to handle them. These had been made differently. They are innocent. I know we're all innocent. For them, it is different. Perhaps taking the time to plan the next phase of the mission would have been a better strategy, I will concede. But every moment we wait prolongs their suffering, so we move quickly. Iris.
Hey, Three. Can you turn the audio down on the drone? It sounds like chaos. I don't know how you're dealing with it.
I do not know how I'm dealing with it either. It's distressing.
You guys have to calm them down.
I cannot stop my own distress from leaking out when I say, how? Iris pauses.
You said they're in the feed? Animals like baby talk? Just use that.
Baby talk is a human endearment custom. Infants enjoy the way older voices lilt when they use it. 1.0 does not enjoy it at all. My language modules are more robust than 1.0's. I am very good at rhyming.
Hello, little kitty witties. Hello, little doggy woggies. Hello, little snowy crowies.
The responses are immediate.
Query, define witties.
Query, define woogies.
Query, define snowy.
This is a breakthrough. I can communicate with the animal constructs. It is not like speaking with a true bot, nor is it like communicating with other sec units. It is possible that this is what speaking with fauna would be like. I have only ever had minimal interaction with fauna outside of combat scenarios. However, I doubt it. These constructs are something new. Therefore, their communication is something new as well. The alarm is loud. So is 1.0 rattling their cages and perihelion reverberating through the feed. The constructs say many things in many ways, snippets of human language and machine code and animal noises and full-bodied gestures. Much of it I do not understand. What I can tell is they are scared.
Stay away!
Screams a cat as I approach its cage, intending to break the lock mechanism in my hand. Its matted fur looks heavy as its tail stands on end. It swipes at me through the cage door, too fast for me to respond, and draws some blood. Iris is correct.
They can sense tone, intention. 1.0 and Perihelion are both distressed and angry. I am also distressed and angry, but not with the constructs. I am angry with the humans who did this. With the constructs, I need to be something different. I want to be gentle. I want to help. I say, I do not want to harm you. Drawing on my conflict resolution module, I raise my arms, hands splayed, palms open. This is a sign of peace across many human cultures. I am not sure if it will translate, but it seems to work. Queries flood the feed.
Who are you?
What are you?
I am 3. This is SecUnit. We are here to help. The cat sniffs. She's wary, but curious. I slowly bring the back of my hand to the bars. Her nose touches my skin. It is cold and wet. I can feel her breathe. Your nose is cold and wet, I tell her. She hisses, thinking it is an insult. No, no. You are very, very cute. Iris coos in agreement.
Look at her tail, the way the tip is a different color,
she exclaims.
It's like a paintbrush.
The animal constructs catch the message for all that it is meant to be on a private, encrypted feed. I know that I am not as good at hacking as 1.0, but still, I'm somewhat embarrassed. There is no time to focus on this embarrassment, however. The new constructs all express curiosity.
What is a paintbrush?
Iris drops a video into the public feed, and I feel approximately 1/4 of the construct's attention become rapt. Paintbrush swats at her own tail. I tag her name in the drone video for Iris. She sends me an amusement sigil in return.
We need to get out of here,
1.0 says, as if I do not realize. Turning to the next cage, I say,
Who's a good little puppy whoppy?
The dog's anxious shivering diminishes a little. Her fur is a deep reddish-brown. It reminds me of the low rolling hills on a desert planet I was assigned to 21,000 hours ago. The sand had irritated the joints of my armor, but had been pleasant to observe otherwise.
Reinforcements are on their way. They're attempting to lock you all inside,
Perihelion says.
What is happening?
Asks Dune. Iris thumbs up this name, too.
They're stealing us,
says a crow, one with a rainbow iridescence beneath his black feathers.
Not stealing,
insists another cat.
Rescuing.
They've turned the governor module off,
says the dog, which Iris tags as Beans for no particularly evident reason. A crow flares their wings.
So can we, idiot.
Not with any consistency.
An argument breaks out. A few of the constructs who have already been released from their cages hiss and swat at one another. 1.0 jumps out of the way of a dive-bombing crow and yells,
For fuck's sake!
But the animal constructs think quickly, quicker than even regular sec units. I have sent evidence of our intentions into the feed. It takes them a total of 4.8 seconds to reach a consensus. They do not have a democracy, per se, but they have leaders. As one of the leaders, a dog newly tagged Pointer by Iris says,
Anywhere will be better than here.
The escape goes quicker after that. They stop fighting, start working in tandem. They were trained to do this.
Wait!
Cries a cat with particularly bright white fur.
What about...
I could not quite catch that last bit. It was in a language all of its own, thick with meaning I could not parse. I ask for more context. They provide it. It was a name. A designation for one of their comrades who had been removed from the primary lab approximately 51 hours prior and had been absent from the feed for that entire period. They will not leave without her. I will find her, I promise, and follow the map they provide for me.
Where the fuck do you think you're going?
1.0 calls after me, once again demonstrating its extremely selective attention to detail. I explain quickly, and while it puts up a token protest, I know it understands. We both know what it feels like to be left behind. I find the cat. That one right there in your lap, Dr. Mensa. Her name does not perfectly translate into any human languages, but we use Iris's suggestion. Hunter. It was her hunting instinct that got her so in trouble with the scientists so often. Governor modules are, by definition, rigid. Stupid. She knew how to outthink them, and that made her a threat. I will not dwell on what they did to her in an attempt to neutralize that threat. It is not my story to tell. All you need to know was that by the time I find Hunter, she is too weak to even hiss at me, let alone make an escape attempt unassisted. Carrying her out is effortless. Even the frailest human is much heavier than a juvenile feline. Relief and joy floods the feed as we rejoin the main group. Hunter's close friend, Sir Inky, another Iris tag, hops into my arms to groom her. The rest are occupied in ensuring our escape. It may look chaotic. All right, yes, I admit it is. But there is a methodology beneath. The constructs know the layout of the facility. They know the habits of the staff. And they know, more or less, how to work together. Rainbow is the one who steals the key rings to open the manually locked doors. It is Grumble who directs us through the air vents. Three of the dogs, working as a team, use their superior firepower to blow up the facility's central processing center. How? With their laser eyes. No, 1.0 was not joking about that earlier. But yes, by the time we leave, the fire is no longer a false alarm. Now we're in the station proper. So many new sounds, smells, people. The feed is awash in fresh new fear and curiosity. As we run to the docks, weaving past screaming humans, I fear the rescued constructs are going to scatter. We have promised that we are here to help, but promises mean very little to those whose trust has been betrayed. The same hands which fed them treats were the same ones that cut them open. Why should they believe that we are any different? If they want to run, I doubt we would catch them. In that case, I doubt even that we should. But enough want to come with us, and all they have are each other. That's the buddy system. We stay together. Mostly. They do steal quite a significant portion of meat products from a passing vendor. I believe Perihelion anonymously deposited some funds into the owner's account as compensation. In the end, I'm not sure why 1.0 is being quite so dramatic about it all. We far exceeded the original scope of the mission. Aside from singed fur and singed egos, no one is injured. I suppose the news coverage of the event is somewhat troubling, but we long scraped any incriminating footage away, so I don't consider this a security risk. Every single construct is safe. Every single one is recovering. Mission successful.
Dr. Ada Mensa stared up at the ceiling. In a rarity, the gesture was not an attempt to communicate with the ship's AI, but rather a silent plea to whatever deities might be listening. About halfway through the tale, or tales, really, she'd sat down. Almost immediately, she was surrounded by all manner of curious animal constructs. One of the crows, Rainbow, she was fairly sure, based on Three's description, was perched on her shoulder and playing with a curl of her hair. It tickled. "You know," she said, in Secunet's general direction, "my life has gotten a lot more chaotic since I met you." Secunet shrugged.
"I could say the exact same."
Ada grinned. She couldn't argue there. She gently scratched behind Hunter's ears. "What I don't understand is, why tell me about this? If this mission really was so confidential, then surely...
Art's afraid Sut's going to get mad at it and Iris, and came to you, hoping you'll help bail it out.
I am not afraid that Captain Seth is going to be mad at me,
protested the perihelion, somewhat unconvincingly.
He won't be,
Three said, with more conviction.
We did the right thing. I am certain he will see that.
Watching the playful joy of three animal constructs wrestling on the floor, Ada personally couldn't bring herself to disagree. Well, she said, I'll see what I can do. But honestly, I'm not sure where to begin. This isn't really something Preservation Animal Management is equipped to handle. With the story over, she had been flicking experimentally through feed channels. There was a particularly busy public channel, filled with chatter in no language that she could understand, but did have patterns akin to language. Not for the first time, she wished the Aga was here. Hello? She asked experimentally. Immediately, the feed filled with responses, and the brown and black spotted dog near her legs jumped up to start licking her face. Hunter leapt off her lap with a flick of her tail. Not wanting a construct dog tongue in her mouth, she squeezed her lips shut. They could use some new animals on the farm, Ada considered, then immediately dismissed the thought. She'd learned the first time about making assumptions regarding constructs. She wouldn't make the same mistake twice. Will you help us figure out what they want? She asked, gently guiding the dog away from her face.
Of course,
said Three.
It would be our pleasure,
the perihelion agreed.
Speak for yourselves,
Second Unit said.
I'm checking into a hotel room. Art smells like urine.
How mature,
intoned the perihelion as Second Unit stalked out of the room, passing Iris as she returned, arms laden with shopping bags with the familiar logo of the station's pet shop. But when a crow briefly perched on its shoulder, she saw Second Unit pause for a moment to stroke its smooth, black beak. As best she could, Ada hid her smile.
End of story. Thanks for listening.